Blog Talk Radio.
Play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. All right, already the show goes on all night. Every morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up.
Up, I just laugh, put my kicks up on they desk, unaffected by they threats, then get busy on they ass. See, that's how that shutdown made me, that's how my daddy raised me. That glycerin may not be gold, don't let nobody play me. If you are my homeboy, you never have to pay me. Go on and put your hands up, when times is hard, you stand up. L.U.P. the man, cause the brand that the fans trust, so even if they ban us, they'll never slow my plan up. There. Three in the air for the kids in the ghetto. Four for the kids that don't want to be there. None for the trying to hold them back. Five in the air for the teacher not scared to tell those kids that's living in the ghetto that the holding back that the world is theirs. Yeah, yeah, the world is yours. I was once that little boy, terrified of the world. Now I'm on a world tour. I will give up everything, even start a world war for these ghetto girls and boys I'm rapping around the world for. Africa to New York, Haiti then I detour. Oakland out to Oakland, got the strip to Detroit. Say hip-hop only destroy. Tell them look at me, boy. I hope your son don't have a gun and never be a D-boy. What you into, no matter what you see, when you look outside your window, brown grass or green grass, picket fence or barbed wire, never ever put them down, you just lift your arms higher, raise them till your arms tired, let them know you there, that you struggling, surviving, that you gon' persevere, yeah, ain't nobody leaving, nobody going home, even if they turn the lights down, the show is going on, alright.
Hi, listeners, and welcome to another edition of Weekdays with Murph. On the show today, we have a returning guest who, if you remember, back in August, he was on to help me celebrate my 1 year anniversary on a Blog Talk Radio, and after much a prodding on my part, not really, he has agreed to come back. Please help me welcome someone I have the utmost respect for, Neville J. Lee of a Buzzworthy Radio, and I believe he's on the line, so let's bring him on right now.
How are you?
Hey, Hey, Neville, how are you, man?
Doing very well. Thank you for having me back on again. Appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you taking time to do this today.
Absolutely.
I was just to jump right into this. A serious question for you, okay?
Okay.
I've done some research and listened to some of your past shows, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a running theme that I found throughout your past radio shows. Please tell me that you are not in your underwear for this interview today.
I am fully clothed.
Thank you,
I'm
God.
Fully clothed. I am fully clothed. I am not in shorts and underwear for this interview. yeah, that is the running gag of my show now, and it's so funny how that caught on with a lot of people. It's crazy. We had a guest on our show, and I made the mistake of saying how it was so hot in my room that I'm basically in a tank top and shorts, and then it just got turned around, and basically you're in your shorts and underwear doing this interview. You're pretty much naked. I was just like, oh, you know, gotta watch what you say around this guy, because he'll just like catch that one thing and it'll just turn it into something else, and it just blows everything completely out of proportion, and it's just it's hilarious. I love him though, you know, he's great. Every time he's on the show, he's a blast. He's a hoot. So I can't deny it.
I thought I'd mess with you a second there. I thought you'd probably get a kick out of that. like I said, how have you been?
So far, so good.
Go ahead.
Coming back off the holiday hiatus. You're trying to get back into the swing of things because I hadn't done a lot in maybe like a month or so, and you know, now trying to get back into the swing of things with a lot of stuff. It's like, okay, let me do this, let me do that. So it's kind of like I'm trying to reinsert myself into this whole thing, and it's so crazy because it's one of those things where while I've done this for so long, it's kind of like, gosh, I've taken like a little long vacation, and now it's kind of like I forgot what to do. So so now I need to figure that out. But it's been very, 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 very good. I have a couple of shows that I'm planning on uploading today that I had done from Friday and yesterday actually, and you know, I'm gonna work on getting those uploaded before the night's out. So, yeah. So make sure everybody stays tuned to the website because I do have a couple of new ones for you. So I'm looking forward to that. So.
And I'll be sure to promote anything and retweet it for you. I'll absolutely do it.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You know, and as I was going back through all of your shows, I noticed you did a interview with somebody that you admittedly had a fanboy moment over, and I would have too, to be honest with you, Melody Thomas Scott. How cool was that?
Oh, man, that woman is just a breath of fresh air. I would completely and utterly gush over this woman in no time flat. I first met her in 2009, and I have no problem telling this story when I first met her. It's nice that you brought that up today because, of course, you know, her anniversary of 35 years at The Young and Restless when she first aired as Nikki is actually next Thursday. So I first met her in 2009 at the Young and the Restless fan event, and it was just like, I'm in the presence of Melody Thomas-Scott. I'm in the presence of Nikki Reed Newman. And I just cannot, I was just sitting there just going like, I can't believe that I'm actually here. You know, it's one of those things where you're sitting there and just in awe because you've watched this person for so many years, for over 20 years, and now you had the chance to see them in person, and it's just like the lights in the heavens just kind of like opened up, and I was just like, oh my God, how am I going to act around her? Am I going to say something stupid? Am I going to freeze up when I walk up to her line to get a picture or an autograph or something? You know, it was just like, oh my goodness. But I was so, so thrilled to have met her. And then seeing her again at the Emmy, that was an absolute thrill. And getting the chance to talk to her on my show, it was as if I first talked to her, like never before had I met her already. And I just looked at it and I was going like, oh my goodness, I'm just having a complete utter fanboy moment. And I don't really care. I'm going to gush over Melody Thomas-Scott, and if you guys don't like it, that's fine. But I was definitely gonna show the love. I was so, words cannot describe how excited I was to talk to her, and to talk to her like twice on the show. It was breathtaking. It was just wonderful, and she was just she's so real, and I love how she's so real and down to earth and pretty much tells it how it is. I think that's incredible, and that's one of the main things I love about her as a person. And of course, her character on the show is just absolutely amazing. I'm loving the stuff that's going on right now between her character and Ray Wise, who plays Ian mm-hmm. Ward on the show. God, mm-hmm. he's just maniacal and evil, and he plays that part very, very well, and he works very well opposite Melody on the show. So I'm looking forward to see where that's going, as well as now with his interaction with Summer, played by Hunter King. It's gonna be good. I'm looking forward to it, so I'm excited.
I believe it or not, the show is actually on my TV right now.
I don't get it for another. I don't get it for another 20 minutes. So you get it a half hour ahead of me. So I'm kind of jealous, but yeah.
I've got it muted. It's on my TV right now. So anyway, and when you said about a fanboy moment, every time. Mm-hmm. I get a guest, whether it be another radio host like yourself or a soap star, I have an absolute fanboy moment, just a private fanboy moment myself.
It happens. You have to. I mean, you have to. I will not deny that when I get ready to talk to somebody, I kind of show some kind of excitement for it. And you know, you have that moment where you're like, okay, I'm about to talk to this person. I never talked to this person before. I'm about to, you know, go ahead and get into this. And then, you know, as soon as you go through that, it then becomes to a point then when you're like, all right, now the fanboy moment is over. Now we're about to get down to business, kind of a thing. But you know, I think it happens with a lot of people. You know, I think it happens with everybody that interviews somebody that they love, and they respect in this industry. You know, you have that moment where you're just like, you're very excited because this is somebody that you have watched or you grew up with for loads of amounts of time, and to finally get the chance to speak to them is just a thrill for that person. So you have that moment where you're just like, oh man, you're grinning from ear to ear. And but then it's just like once it dies down, then you're really in the game. So right. I think it's normal. I think it's something that everybody does. So
and like you said again, I'll have my fanboy freak out moment, but once I'm on air with a guest, I'm totally professional.
You were unprofessional, you said, or what?
I'm totally professional. Once
Oh, okay.
I'm on air talking to the guest, I'm totally professional, you know. I'll have my little a fanboy freak-out moment privately off-air, but once I'm on air, it's all business.
Exactly. And that's really how it is. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that you can't have a fanboy moment at all. Believe me when I tell you, I have them. And trust me, there are still instances where I do have them with people who I've had on more than once. And I still have those moments. So don't get me wrong when I say that you can't have them. It's just that you have them, but then you basically, you know, now you have a show to do. Now you have something to
Absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely. You know, and every time I'm on air, there's this little voice in my head going, "Don't f up, don't f up," you know. But
well,
that was there. But
yeah,
it got louder when I had a Mara West on the show one time. That voice was basically screaming at me, "Don't f up, don't you f up."
How was that? Because everybody knows I love myself some Mara West. How was that when you got to talk to her?
Oh my God, Mara is one of the sweetest, classiest ladies I've probably ever encountered. Just so down to earth and gracious. You'd love her, trust me.
That's awesome. I most likely would, no doubt. I mean, I've loved her for years since her As the World Turns days, and I'm in awe of how talented this woman is. Believe that.
She's one of the sweetest, like I said, the sweetest, classiest ladies ever. So.
You can tell
that
from Twitter, too.
I have to say, it was a humbling moment when she agreed to come on. It was pretty humbling for me as a soap fan. Because basically, this is a daytime royalty, basically. So.
Exactly.
This is special.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and another a sort of a fanboy moment I had was when I spoke to a Robert Kelker Kelly, a GHS Stavros. That was cool. That was pretty cool.
You know, it's funny how you bring him up because I while you were saying that, because you basically said he was Stavros, and of course I knew him when he was Bo and Sam Fowler on Another World,
and
he took over Bo Brady on Days of Our Lives after Peter Recko left for that short period of time, and then, of course, he came back to Another World as that other character, which I will never understand, but I don't. I was like, if you're coming back to Another World, play Sam Fowler again, but I guess that was not on the table for him, so whatever. But then seeing him as Stavros, you know, it was interesting to see him play that part because I'd never seen him play somebody so maniacal and twisted that when you talk to somebody who plays those kinds of roles, you don't, for me specifically, every time I talk to somebody that's like that, I never know how they will react to you when you talk to them. Because then it's kind of like, you know, you're so scared of this person on screen, but then when you talk to them, it's like, oh, okay. you're really not this.
Absolutely.
And they're so hilarious, and they're so funny, and then it's just like, wow, you're completely not in any way, shape, or form the character you're playing on TV, and I was just like, why am I scared of you or intimidated of you?
Right.
James Scott was that way for me. When I first talked to James Scott from Days of Our Lives, I never talked to him when he was on All My Children. I talked to him when he first started playing EJ on Days, and I flat out told him on air, dude, I was so intimidated by you from talking to you because I swear to you right now that I really just felt so many EJ feels right now that I really was so intimidated by you. And he stopped laughing at me. He's like, why? And in that British English accent of his. And I was just like, I was so intimidated by you, dude. I really was. I'm not anymore now that I've been so hip to him and everything. But it was just like when I first spoke to him, I was so intimidated by him. Oh, my God.
And speaking of being intimidated, now, this person is like Mara West, one of the sweetest people ever and one of my favorite people ever. But when I spoke to Kathleen Getty, okay, as she comes on a full Obrecht mode, I was like, oh, great, we get Obrecht today instead of Kathleen. Oh, joy. But still, but she could not have been nicer. She was just a joy to chat with.
She seems like she would be an awesome person. Like, she really would. Like,
she is a utter joy to chat with. I love her to death.
Pretty, pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. But like I said, she comes on in full Obrecht mode with the accent and everything. I was like, oh, great. We get Obrecht today instead of Kathleen. Oh, joy. Which was kind of hilarious because I had no idea she was going to do that. I had no clue.
I heard stories like when people talk to her, and they expect to hear her in her Dr. Obrecht accent.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have that accent.
Absolutely.
I think that's even more hilarious because then I'm like, oh, okay, now I know what to expect whenever I see her now. That I will not hear Lisel Obrecht in that voice of hers.
Right. Absolutely. We've only got a little bit of time left, but I do want to switch gears here and talk about one of your favorite shows ever, Revenge. Have you been keeping up with that show lately?
Oh, of course I have. I mean, that's a question that I'm surprised you asked me.
Well, yeah, this is true, but anyway.
I'm more surprised you asked me that than anything else, but I have been keeping up with the show, and, you know, I still tweet about the show. I'm always going to support the show, and, you know, right now the show hasn't been on since the end of January because it's not back on with new episodes again until March 9th at a new time at 10 o'clock. So it's one of those things where I'm kind of like, well, y'all need to make sure you keep pimping out the fact that it's not going to be on at 9 anymore. It's going to be on at 10. I haven't seen y'all do that. Why am I still putting out here? Oh, yeah, make sure to note the time change. But I feel that season 3 is completely back on season 1's level. I didn't feel that with season two. I was very put off with a lot of stuff during season two until towards the end of the season. And when Sunil Nayar took over the reins as the showrunner and executive producer, they completely and utterly switched gears to bring him back to that mold. And I loved how they were fleshing out Nolan a little bit more, who's played by Gabriel Mann. He's another one who I can vehemently tell you I did have fanboy moments over when he was on the show, and I think everybody knows that. I think it's no secret, but but he, you know, his character was fleshed out. I am enjoying that. I am enjoying the way that they're conveying the story now between Emily and the Graysons, where they now know within house how she lied to get her way into the family. but not the whole story. They don't know her identity still, but they know that she lied about who she is.
Right.
And how she got to this point, to where she is. So I think it's very interesting in that retrospect of it, because I love the fact that now they're basically able to act on all cylinders where they could just bring up the bitchiness to each other. I mean, Josh Bowman, who plays Daniel, I didn't really see him lasting. I kind of understood his point. I guess he did an interview, and he mentioned how, you know, they have to change things up with the character, otherwise this character should be killed off, kind of a thing. And I understand what he meant by that, simply for the mere reason that where else could they take him? Where else could they take Daniel Grayson? And I think once they had his character shoot Emily, after he overheard everything as to the fact that she faked being pregnant and that he basically lost the one that he actually wanted to be with, and that was Sarah, you know, he kind of now turned into – their relationship now has turned into that of Conrad and Victoria in new form, in the younger version, which I totally loved how they just did that. I loved how the fact that they just basically turned their relationship into Conrad and Victoria. And it's – I think that's what's going to keep that going. And I'm interested to see how Gail O'Grady is going to do on the show as the first Mrs. Grayson. So I'm very excited for what lies ahead for the show come March, yeah, until the season finale. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. So can't deny it.
Oh, I am too. And another show I'm looking forward to is It's Your Turn is Scandal. I love that show.
Scandal.
I know you love it too, don't deny
it. Oh, man. I'm telling you, that show will cause some people to drink. That show will cause people to drink. They will. I'm sorry, it does, and I'm not ashamed to say that, but oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I would totally drink at this show because of all the things that it puts me through.
Right.
But I can't wait until that show is back, because it's so addicting. And then it's so funny, because what's funny is that there are a couple of people who I know that tried to watch it and couldn't watch it because they speak so fast. And then I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah, they do, but that's what the closed caption's for. So,
nah, seriously.
Turn on the closed captions and then you'll be good. Mm-hmm. But so I love it. I love this show. I am so addicted to this show. And, you know, Huck, though, I mean, that guy, I don't know. He's getting a little scary.
Yeah, he is. We've only got about a minute left, so I wanted to thank you again for taking the time to come on and do this. And as always, you've got a open invitation to the show anytime you wanna come back on. Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me again. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Neville.
Take care.
Bye. All right, man, you too. Well, I hope you guys enjoy our little chat with Neville J. Lee from A Buzzworthy Radio. I absolutely... I love Neville. He's totally awesome. Anyway, I wanted to just go over a few things real quick. March is hopefully shaping up to be a big month for the show. I don't want to jinx anything, so just stay tuned, and I'll be out there on Twitter tweeting about it and everything else. So with that said, I think I'm going to end the show right here. You've been listening to A Weekdays with Murph. Thank you, and goodbye.